The universe is filled with billions of galaxies, incredible planets, enormous black holes.
The universe is also filled with incredible mysteries, which leaves me with a lot of questions.
Which leaves us with a lot of questions. And we're here to answer some of them. Welcome to The Astrolic Explains.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Astrolic Explains.
Welcome back. We assume you're coming back because we're just so awesome.
Very optimistic. Or if it's your first time here, welcome.
Yeah, we're not that arrogant. It's fine.
Maybe. Anyway, thank you for checking out The Astrolic Explains. So, I'm Alfredo.
I'm Chris. And I know nothing about space.
No, you know something. You have approximate knowledge of many things. You go on a lot of tangents, some right, some wrong, but that could be said for many people.
Good. I'm not alone.
Yes, exactly. So what question, tangent, random thought or stream of consciousness have you got for us today?
This came about because I was one day out in the sun and I was thinking about how long it takes for light to reach us and
how many minutes does it take for sunlight to get from the sun?
8 minutes.
Correct.
I've known that since I was very small. So I know some things, so it's good.
As I said, just proving.
So I was thinking about this and it got me thinking about light in general,
mm-hmm.
and how when the universe began, you had the first stars.
Not exactly when the universe began, but yes. Well,
I mean, okay, in general, the concept of the first stars.
Yes.
And then I was thinking about our sun, which is much younger by comparison.
Yes.
So I was just thinking, has light always been the same? Is the light that we experience now the same as the light back then, like way back then?
That is a very cool question. Light is the same. It's on the electromagnetic spectrum, goes from the very energetic gamma rays, then X-rays, then ultraviolet or UV, then visible light, then infrared, microwave, radio waves. So that light is always the same, but the first stars, and we have not observed the first stars yet, and this is important,
okay.
Were much more massive than the sun, maybe 100 times heavier than the sun. So they burn more quickly and they were much hotter. So they would emit a lot more ultraviolet. But I think to best answer that question, we need an actual expert on that. Let me introduce to you Dr. Emma Chapman. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for inviting me. It's really nice to get the opportunity to chat.
It is our pleasure. Would you like to introduce yourself a little bit and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Emma Chapman, as we've discussed, and I'm an astrophysicist. I'm a lecturer based at the University of Nottingham. I guess I study the first stars in the universe using radio telescopes, which are the love of my life. I travel the world looking at different radio telescopes and getting people to take dorky photos of me in front of them. I've just got back from one yesterday. I got back from one from Puerto Rico. What a job.
Wow.
So I am a researcher. I love it so much that I've written a book about it called First Light, Switching on Stars at the Dawn of Time. So if you do end up interested in it after today's episode, then please do consider giving that a buy. And I'm also quite vocal on Twitter, so you can see lots of pictures of radio telescopes or me smiling dorkily in front of them. So my handle is Dr. E.O. Chapman, and you can find me on the website in the same handle as well.
Wonderful, thank you very much. So without further ado, Chris, I think you have some questions.
Certainly. So let's just begin with asking, was the light of the first stars different?
It was light in the same sense that we have, you would have seen the star in the sky, so it would have emitted visible light. It was very strong in what we call UV light, so that is similar to our sun. That's why we put sunscreen on a particular high UV day. And we can get on later to why that's important. So in that terms of light, it was the same, but without giving too much away for more questions, I guess, there was a difference in what the light could tell us. So light can tell us about the composition of a star, and there's a bit of a hint at what's different about the first star in terms of the difference of light in that way.
Oof, okay. We have so many expectations that things in the universe, yes, change about stars based on the fact that our sun has been there for 5 billion years, that the stars are, especially in human terms, almost eternal. So the fact that there were populations of stars that has vanished, it is very, very exciting.
Yep, so this is why I'm so interested in this time, is because there is a lost billion years in our understanding of how our universe grew up. I always wanted to be a historian, loved ancient Egypt because there was this mystery of finding, you know, unopened tombs. And for me, I found the ultimate mystery in terms of history and opening that tomb and looking for that first species of stars, which we've lost.
Wow, that was fantastically put. That was so exciting.
Yeah, I think by just talking about Egypt and investigating tombs, you're literally speaking directly into Chris's heart.
That's wonderful. So can we still see this light, this first light?
So not the light directly from those first stars, because so there's two ways that we can think about this. The first stars died very quickly. The vast majority of them. So they would have lived only about 1 million years. Whereas our sun, for example, is projected to live a whole 10 billion years. So in terms of a human lifetime, if we're comparing it, that's equivalent to a 3-day lifetime. So it's very, very, very fast. So in that way, they're not really around today, unless you ask a question later. Are they around today? But mostly they will have died out, and so we can't see that light from that time. There is another way. So what they did to their environment was that they changed the gas around them, and that gas gives off light. Now that's a lot brighter, and that we can see today. And so by looking at how the stars change their environment, we can tell what kind of stars they were, how many there were, what they were made of, for example. So we use those kind of clues.
That is fascinating. So I guess given that you teased us a question, should I ask, are there still stars still around today?
Yeah. So this is very recent research in terms of the scheme of things. So the last, let's say, 6-7 years, we finally got the computer power to start simulating not just a first star forming, but a little bit further around it, so the whole gas cloud. And what we're finding is that these massive, huge first stars, much larger than our sun, so let's say 70, 80, 90, 100 times the mass of our sun, they might have actually created sibling stars. So the gas around them may have fragmented into smaller stars. And if some of these stars, so not many, if some of them, about 80% the mass of our sun, that the smaller a star, the longer it lives, those stars could still be around today. Now, they'd be very hard to find because they would look like any other stars. But there are people called stellar archaeologists who look for these first stars around us every day. Whether we're going to be able to do it or not is a question, but they're doing incredibly well. They're finding stars that are what we call very low metallicity, which is one of these clues that something is a first star.
For the non-astrophysicists, because us in the field have the bad habits to call anything that is not hydrogen and helium a metal.
Yeah, it absolutely. Means
everything, hydrogen and helium are the two most common elements. Everything else, we're just like, it's a metal.
Yeah, and it is for a good reason. You know, we have the Big Bang, and the only atoms that could survive, the only elements, are hydrogen and helium. Mm-hmm. And everything was so violent, so hot, that it was like trying to build Lego towers with screaming sugar-crazed toddlers running around. Like, you could try and make a bigger atom like lithium or beryllium or carbon, but somebody's going to come knock it down. A photon or electron's going to just destroy it. So it is the fact that we've got mostly hydrogen and helium, and it was the first stars, these pristine, clean first stars that just formed from hydrogen and helium. And for reasons of boring chemistry, that's why they got so big. I don't care about chemistry. And it was those first stars that had the fusion inside them, just like our stars now. And it was those that were the engines of creation. So they fused together hydrogen and helium into lithium and then beryllium, then boron, then carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, all of these things. They did that. And when they lived their very short lives of a million years, they then went into a supernova and they exploded all of those heavy elements, those metals, into the surrounding gas and polluted the universe. But it is those metals that make up us, that make up planets and galaxies and make up the stars today. So stars today have a much higher metal content. So by looking for stars that are pristine, that are clean, we might find one of those first stars. The issue is they've been hanging around the universe for about 13 billion years. It's like hanging out a really white, nice white sheet off a balcony in London. Do that for 13 billion years, it's going to get dirty. It's going to get dirty. And so these stellar archaeologists literally have to look at what the 250 billion stars in our Milky Way, dust the light off to see whether the metals they're seeing are camouflage, whether there's a first star underneath all of that dirt.
Wow, that is fascinating. So our last question for you, I think it's, why it is so important to understand these first stars, why it is so crucial that we understand this missing few million years in the history of the universe that probably repeated several times.
It's a whole billion years, so it's a huge amount. And what that is equivalent to missing is if you've got a scrapbook of a human lifetime, then missing that billion years is like missing everything from the day that you're born to the first day at school. That's how much we are missing. It's the first billion years. So you think how formative that time was in your life. It's the same for the universe. You know, we're creating all of this stuff. So, and you can't really draw conclusions about the rest of the life, how that was lived, the psychology, without all of that original data. And it really is the same. With all of that missing data, you can make incorrect conclusions. And so it's important scientifically to have a complete set of data. Now, that sounds very cold. For me, how could you not want to open a tomb on the oldest time in our universe? So for me, that's enough. And then you've got the other side, which is that this helps the whole of astrophysics in terms of that you're looking at a much more pristine environment in terms of star formation. It's very different in terms of a different kind of supernova. It's the most energetic supernova that we think, theoretically. They might create the biggest black holes that are possible from a star exploding. That could explain why the massive black holes, the supermassive black holes for example, in our galaxy are so big. That's a mystery. They shouldn't be that big. But if the first stars formed black holes, that gives them the head start. And so you've got these mysteries that are linked. And what I like to say is that this first time is like the biggest laboratory we can make. So it's a laboratory for testing all of the theories that we have made by looking at kind of like our very small local environment.
Wow, seriously, that was a phenomenal answer. Thank you very much for your time today.
No worries, it's been a pleasure.
Been great, thank you. Thank you very much to our special guest and to you for helping to answer the little question I had today.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. I love my description of this cosmic archaeology. And
so cool.
Yeah, it's I really hope that we can find some of the first stars, maybe some stars that are still with us today.
or maybe even reach the level of with a powerful telescope to see them, their effects maybe a little bit more directly rather than just on the emission of gas that was excited by them.
Thank you very much. Join us next time.
Yeah, see you soon.
Bye-bye.